Ramayana, Ayodhya Kanda, Part 8. After hearing Sumantra's words, Maharaj Dasarath became even more overwhelmed with grief. In a fit of despair, he declared, "Oh, you must take me to where Ram is staying, or somehow bring him back here. Otherwise, I shall die. I am now merged in an ocean of grief. The two boons I granted Kaikeyi are the shores of that ocean, and the term of Ram's exile is its extent. My inward and outward breaths are the waves and whirlpools, and that ocean is further agitated by the inflowing river of tears shed by Kaushalya and others. The flaying of arms in agony is the leaping of fish in that ocean, and the disheveled hair is the seaweed, and yet our loud crying is its roar. Kaikeyi is the submarine fire which causes showers of welled-up tears, while the very words of Mantara are the alligators that infest its waters." After speaking, Dasarath again fainted, and Kaushalya, who had become almost mad with grief, writhed on the floor. In agony, the queen wailed, "O Sumantra, if you do not take me to Ram at once, surely I will die." Sumantra could only hope to comfort Kaushalya by saying, "O my queen, since he is in the company of Sita and Lakshmana, Ram will pass his time quite happily in spite of living in the forest." Thus, even though Kaushalya was the foremost of wives, she began to address Dasarath as follows: "It is your fault that my son has been exiled, allowing all these miseries to befall us. How could you be so cruel to your own son and his delicate wife? How will Ram and Sita bear having to lie down upon the ground? How will they be able to maintain themselves, eating only raw fruit and roots? How will they survive the freezing cold, the winds, and torrential rains? How will they protect themselves from ferocious animals that wander through the jungle at night in search of prey? And even if Ram survives and returns to Ayodhya after 14 years, Bharat will never be willing to give him back the throne. Indeed, even if Bharat were to offer it, Ram would never accept something that had already been enjoyed by his younger brother. I am so unfortunate for having a wretched husband like you. The primary support of a woman is her husband. But since you are fully under the control of Kaikeyi, I am now bereft of that shelter. The secondary support of a woman is her son. And since I am separated from him, I am doomed." Kaushalya's lamentations were so painful to hear that Dasharath lost consciousness again. But then Kaushalya realized how her husband was suffering from her words, and so her heart softened. And when the king regained consciousness, they reconciled, and Dasharath then related the following story. "One who does not consider the good or bad reaction of a particular deed is certainly a great fool. One who cuts down mango trees to grow thorn bushes will undoubtedly repent at harvest time. By banishing Ram to the forest, I have certainly followed this example. Long ago, when I was a young prince, I learned the art of piercing an invisible object with my arrow simply by listening to its sound. Once, As I was hunting at night on the banks of the river Sarayu, I heard a sound that I thought to be an elephant drinking water. However, after shooting my arrow in that direction, I heard a loud scream. It was a human voice calling out, "Who has so cruelly pierced me with his arrow, even though I am an innocent rishi?" As that pitiful voice cried out in pain, I ran in the direction of the crying. I thus came upon a young ascetic boy lying on the ground with my arrow stuck in his body. Seeing me before him, the boy said, "My old and blind mother and father are waiting for me to bring them water. So you have not only killed me, but them as well. For without my care, they will be unable to continue living. So you should please go and confess to them that you have mortally wounded me. But before you leave, please pull out this arrow, for it is giving me great pain." I hesitated to pull out the arrow, because I was afraid if I did so, the boy would immediately die. Seeing my reluctance, the boy assured me, "Do not fear thinking that you will be killing a Brahmana, for I was born of a Vaishya father and Shudra mother." So after hearing these words, I pulled out the arrow, and when I did, the boy instantly gave up his life. I then filled his water pitcher and proceeded with a grief-stricken heart to the ashram of the boy's parents. There I saw the old, feeble, blind couple. Upon hearing me approach, they thought I was their son, and so they began to address me with affectionate words. This indeed caused my heart great pain, but I took courage and explained to them how I had accidentally killed their son. "I am not your son. I am a Kshatriya named Dasharath. I mistook the sound of your son collecting water for an elephant drinking, and in my ignorance, I shot an arrow and killed your son. Please tell me, how can I atone for my sin?" Because Dasharath was a learned man, he knew that he could not escape the reaction of a sinful deed. Thus he intelligently inquired about the proper means of atonement. The scriptures advise, every intelligent man should atone for his sins before death, in order to avoid suffering in the next life. One has to make restitution according to the gravity of one's offense. Even though many people today question the existence of a future life, the stringent laws of karma, action and reaction, are always at work, and no one is excused, not even on the plea of ignorance. And when people break the laws of God or the laws of nature, they must reap the result, birth after birth, possibly descending to a lower species or even to the hellish planets. So in order to avoid this, Dasharath immediately tried to counteract his sin. After hearing me, the old man replied, "Because you have voluntarily confessed your sin, I shall not curse you. For if I were to do so, then you would instantly die. Since you killed my son out of ignorance, your life shall be spared. Now, please take me to where my son is lying." I then led the blind couple to where their son lay lifeless, and they began to caress his body, crying out pitifully. Then, as soon as they offered libations of water for their son's departed soul, King Indra himself descended to that spot on a celestial chariot, And after assuring the aged parents that they would attain the same exalted destination as their son, Indra took the boy in his celestial form to the heavenly planets. Then the old ascetic cursed me. Just as we are now experiencing great anguish upon the death of our son, you also will have to feel the same grief due to separation from yours. Then the old sage and his wife threw themselves upon their son's funeral pyre, thus giving up their lives and ascending to heaven. And so, my dear Kaushalya, today I am reaping the fruits of my horrible crying. I am dying of a broken heart, and I can feel the power of my senses ebbing away like the flame of an oilless lamp. I know death will come to me very soon. O Queen, I have already become blind with grief. So now, please touch me so that I can be assured of your presence. Maharaj Dasharath continued lamenting in separation from Ram while remaining fully absorbed in his memory. And when half the night had passed, the king left his mortal body. Because he so greatly loved his son Ram, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, King Dasharath attained the Lord's abode in the spiritual sky, where Lord Ram reigns eternally. And any devotee who always thinks of the Lord while eating, sleeping, working, or relaxing also attains the Lord's transcendental abode. Thus, although King Dasharath had to endure the reaction of his past offense, he achieved his desired goal, the eternal association with Lord Ram.